We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, the idea of a second wave and what to do if there's a shutdown and everything else. To me, our community is the group that's most in control of that. And if we keep doing the things that we're supposed to, like wearing masks, especially when we're inside, and maintaining social distancing and doing hand hygiene and not going into work if we're sick, we're not going to have a second wave. So we can absolutely be the authors of our story.
You had just mentioned how it's important that everyone's going to be need to wear masks so that we can avoid a second wave. And obviously the fate is in our hands, as the saying goes. But I mean, is there a realistic concern over at UBMD Orthopedics and Sports Medicine that the practice could shut down again and that you'd have to go entirely virtual, kind of like what happened a few months ago?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a concern about that. When the first wave came through, especially down in New York City, everybody did what they had to do, which is we don't know a ton about this virus. It's frightening and dangerous, and everybody shut down, and that was necessary, and it worked. We certainly have learned a lot more since then, and some of the things that we've learned are that there are ways that we can keep the virus from spreading or make it harder for it to spread. Staying apart from each other a bit and not clumping together, wearing masks when we're around each other, especially when we're inside. Being really careful and cognizant about hand hygiene and keeping surfaces clean in the healthcare setting. And if we all sort of pitch in and do our part that way, we ought to be able to keep a second wave from hitting us. So that's where prevention's the best type of treatment. And it would be great if we could prevent a second wave from hitting. If there's a second wave that hits, we probably, again, have learned some things from our responses during the first wave. And maybe we don't have to shut down quite as aggressively as we did the first time. But we certainly don't want to get to the situation where intensive care unit beds are being overwhelmed, hospitals are being overwhelmed, and we're running out of capacity to care for people and pivoting into suddenly turn of the century medicine rather than modern medicine. That's what we're all trying to avoid.
Do you think patients should, if they've been putting off this idea of having some sort of appointment done, and do you think that they should be urgently trying to schedule an appointment just in case something happens again this fall?
I think it's something that people could think about. What we really are all about doing is, again, trying to do preventive care, trying to keep degenerative conditions from advancing, trying to manage pain, decrease pain, improve function. And we should be able to continue to provide healthcare in the setting of a viral outbreak. And we've been very successful at doing that within our organization. We never shut completely down. We ended up decreasing patient volume by about 50% and then saw half of those patients via telemedicine and half in the office. But one of the things that we've learned is those strategies that I mentioned earlier can be very effective in terms of preventing virus spread. And we were seeing hundreds of patients a day in our outpatient organization and doing things like emphasizing social distancing and universal mask wear when masks were available, and screening and all the other things that we know that work. And throughout the time since the shutdown, we haven't had a single staff member be diagnosed with coronavirus or test positive for coronavirus. In the hospital system, when they tested the community randomly, in I think around April versus when they, and they also tested the employees in a hospital where basically, you know, all the coronavirus patients are going. The hospital, the healthcare workers had half the infection rate of coronavirus in comparison to the community. So those are experts in doing things like keeping viruses from spreading amongst one another. And they're great at it, even in an environment of there being virus in denser concentrations than any place else in Western New York. The people that were there on the front lines were having half as much infection with coronavirus as the community. So we know what works, and we should do what works.
I guess, you know, how busy was your practice when this pandemic first hit and they were forcing a lot of places to shut down or limit the amount of visitors? And has it been much more busy over the summer?
Yes. We when we closed down, or when the state sort of went on lockdown in, I think it was roughly the third week in March, we saw our surgical volume drop by 90% because they basically stopped surgeons from doing anything but life and limb threatening surgery. And there was a discussion, or there was sort of the view, I think, out in the media and in the general public that there were two kinds of surgeries, the ones that were life or limb saving, and then, or threat, you know, done for life or limb threatening purposes, and then the surgeries that were elective. And it's a much grayer world than that. And there are a lot of procedures that aren't life and limb saving, but certainly prevent conditions from deteriorating. They result in better outcomes than if the problem's treated later. And if you wanted to use I think maybe an analogy that people could understand, you think about it like your automobile. And if your automobile gets totaled, obviously it's undrivable and you've got to do something about that immediately. You can't get anywhere. If you get a flat tire, you could still drive your car, but the wheel may break pretty quickly. And if you need your oil changed, you know, you don't have to change your oil right that minute. But if you don't change your oil sometime in a regular fashion, eventually your engine's going to break down. We see that in musculoskeletal medicine in terms of surgeries that are very much in between optional, which are almost, you know, non-existent in our world, versus immediately life and limb threatening. And they see that in other parts of the community with things like colonoscopy and these other screening procedures that are done to prolong life and really maintain people's health throughout the long term.
All right, Dr. Bisson. And my final question is, you know, if someone were to schedule today to try to get an appointment over at UBMD Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, when's the earliest they can get in? And, you know, should they continue to put off anything or just take care of it right now?
They should continue to take care of their problems. So I certainly would not be putting things off right now. We've got a low rate of viral prevalence in the community. I think Western New York is pretty bought into doing the things that really mitigate against viral transmission. And we've got same-day appointments. We've got appointments through our urgent care that people can call our number and get an immediate appointment. So I definitely would not be putting things off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.